The opinions expressed by the participants of the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of Kamoish TV or its administration.
Roundtable, La Kamoish Radio.
Yeah.
My story.
Welcome to the roundtable of this Friday, April the 12th, 2024. Vince Negro here filling in for Christina Da Costa. On the program today, to my right, my immediate right, is Lenita Lopes with the S. I always say Lenita Lopes with the S. Lenita, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here again.
And we got a first-time guest, Gray Ghoul, someone I've gotten to know over the last little while. Great photographer, social influencer. I call you a social influencer. Thank you. Who's got his finger on the pulse in terms of what's happening out there with TikTok and all these other formats. In the second half, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But to kick off the show, we just like to talk about some ongoing topics that kind of we think are very important to our listeners, whether locally or globally. We try to give it a perspective. Lenita, I know you rushed over here, and I really appreciate it on a Friday afternoon getting here at 6 o'clock. I know, and even Gray, it's not the easiest thing to do, especially in Toronto. And they always talk about Toronto when they talk about the worst thing about Toronto now is traffic. They talk about, even globally, people, I have friends of mine that have come in from New York, and they said, my God, the traffic in Toronto is worse than New York. So our problem here in Toronto, if there's a negative blush, we got a great city. I'm not knocking the city, is that traffic is always a problem. But Lenita, want to talk a little bit about the TTC. And, you know, like I was reading today an article in New York, the TTC or the transit in New York, the subways, they have guards, they have soldiers that are traveling. In Toronto, the TTC, and you ride the TTC a lot, and I'm going to get to Gray, it's not like it used to be. People now think twice about going on the TTC, especially the subway. And a lot of incidents have been happening, and no one's been stopping. So the TTC has lost a lot of money, but it's really gone downhill. What is your experience, Lenita, riding the transit? And I only tried the transit. Do you think twice now about taking transit in Toronto?
Yeah, I've shared this often. Like, I mean, I love, you know, I love public transportation. Right. I want to love it more. I want to be able to jump on the subway and feel safe, but I don't feel safe. I mean, I've always been a bit cautious. I don't know if it's like the woman in me and sort of like watching my environment, but I definitely often make, depending on the time of day, although things can happen anytime,
right. But
I, especially if you're traveling with friends, you know, if I pay I think the fare is $325, $350 or something. And, you know, if my friend is paying $350, and not that we go dime to dime, but I'd rather pay for an Uber to get here. Like, it just doesn't even make sense sometimes to take the public transit. I'm more comfortable in surface vehicles. And the violence on the TTC has hit home because, you know, my supervisor, if he's listening in today, my immediate reporter, who I report to at the insurance company I'm currently working at, you know, he was a victim of assault, and it was on the streetcar. He was holding, like, this was 2022, so just before I left on maternity leave. And so when you hear stories that, like, touch, you know, your circle, it becomes
You think twice about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. I know you have spend a lot of time with a lot of young people, students. I noticed that there's a young entrepreneur, all kinds of people. And when you talk to me, you can see, you know, they got the knapsack on. They don't think twice. They get out there. They take TTC transit. Yeah, some take Uber, but a lot of people can't afford Uber still.
Definitely,
right?
Yeah.
What's been your experience with transit and the people that you talk to within your circle? Do they think twice now about going on the TTC, especially the subway?
I would say definitely yes, because I have lots of friends that are actually here for a shorter time or just to discover the city, right? Or they're international students. So they actually live dime to a dime. So they prefer, even if it's like a $5 difference, they want to take the TTC. Or they go to school regularly, so they have to get a monthly passes and they have to use the TTC because of the pass they hold. But most of the stories I heard, like, especially on the subway and the streetcars, there's lots of incident happening and they don't feel safe. They don't speak the language well as well. So they're actually get a fear twice because they wouldn't even be able to express themselves when it's and also they're not familiar with here, so they don't know if they should feel safe or not at all. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's for me personally, I used TTC here for maybe like 3 years, and when I first moved into here in 2019, I had I didn't have too much doubt getting into TTC, and it was nice and everything. But after the COVID and during the COVID, I realized there was a slight change, and that slight change just started getting more and more every day. And when I hear all these stories, I don't feel safe that my friends are getting alone during midnights, and even especially myself as well, yeah. And even nights, because there's lots of... Also, in the winter times, it's worse because lots of people use the TTC just to, you know,
shelter.
Just to shelter.
Lenita, you, as you said, you know, growing up, and we didn't think twice taking the Red Rocket or the streetcar on College Street, wherever we were, and even the subway. It was always clean. I always remember the subway clean. Yeah, we couldn't get our cell phones working, but it was always clean. I always remember it being clean. And the last time I rode the subway about a month and a half ago, I'm telling you, just between the smells. And you can tell it was run down, and there was no upkeep. People didn't care. And people were, you know, you could sense that there was always an apprehension of people kind of always looking over their shoulder.
Absolutely. And because you mentioned cleanliness, something I think about, I don't like to sit on the TTC. I'm not at all very pompous, but I'm afraid of bed bugs. Yeah. And you mentioned the pandemic. So during the pandemic, they weren't monitoring a fare, if people were paying their fares, and rightfully, because a lot of people didn't have places to go. Like, the human in me is glad that somebody has a warm place to go. I wish it were somewhere else, but I'm a bit hesitant to sit. And even where I stand, because the TTC seats are either red now or the blue fabric. And I'm afraid to come home with bed bugs.
Well, listen, it's all that. It's a combination of cleanliness, hygiene, the people there, the homeless, that situation, the uncertainty. Like, they just announced now that a lot of the security people on the subway are going to be wearing cameras so that they can record, because most of the time it's the one-on-one stuff. So they're going to start recording cameras. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting rollout. I wanted to talk a little bit about it, but I just wanted to premiere, like, next week on our Millennial. We are covering transit, the lines, all the new lines, all the connections with the up and the LRT and the GO. And so there's a lot of interesting lines. And I think it's important for us to keep our transit system working properly and safe so people don't have to think twice, especially when it gets out globally that people are not safe riding the transit. It's a big downer for the city.
Of course.
I just wanted to, I want to talk about Toronto housing, cost of housing, whatever. I know that you have recently moved from one unit to another.
Yes.
We talked a little bit off camera about, going through a system where you're finding an apartment, you got to deal with a new landlord.
Yes.
You're always competing, whatever. What was your experience like looking for a unit recently? And did you find that it was almost getting out of control cost-wise?
I would say definitely yes, because I've been looking for places for 2 months, and then the prices, it's unbelievably more than I was seeing maybe 3 years ago, because 3 years ago I was able to afford a one-bedroom place maybe myself if I work in two jobs.
Right.
But it seems like right now, if you want to live somewhere safe and if you want to have a proper kitchen in the unit, it's like you have to have a three jobs or you have to even share a one bedroom because the prices are going extremely high. Like, I can tell that for the price that you get a two bedroom two, 3 years ago, now you get even maybe hard to get a one bedroom for the same price.
Yeah, it's interesting, Lena, cost, like, I mean, you're hearing these prices like $3,000, $4,000, yes. $5,000, and you got to have decent income and consistent income to live in the city.
There are two units on my street. So they're, what the English called a flat.
A flat.
So it looks like it's what I've seen online. And I've seen some at one at $4,700. And I'm thinking, if you can drop $4,700 that easily, then why aren't you owning? You know, like, to me, it's not all about ownership, but to me, it is an investment. So I wonder about what these people do. This particular unit, I know the owner of the house and I follow her on Instagram. And so, and she's a real estate agent and she talks about, you know, investing and having landlords and having tenants. But to her, it's about the right. In one way, it's sort of saying it's about having the right tenant.
Yeah.
She's more diplomatic than that.
Right.
Because I guess if somebody is paying $4,700, then it is a certain caliber.
Yeah.
Not that they're better, but like that they have a salaried buddy.
And as you know, there are a lot of tenants that know how the law works and they can also be, you know, a nightmare for, you know, vice versa. There's a whole situation, but the tightening up of the stock, Gray, in terms of finding something's adequate and people are, you got multiple offers and people are competing and that kind of stuff
Of course.
And like yourself, a person who has been here in the city for several years now and you're trying to position yourself. Your goal is obviously to own something, whether it's a condo or a house. But the prices, you know, your most recent experience are out of control. There's no question about that.
Yes, definitely. So the thing is, like, most of the people has to start somewhere, and I'll tell it. Like, when I first moved here 5 years ago, I was able to find a one bedroom place for $1,600. That was, I mean, it's not even cheap, but now the cheapest I could find that I find livable, it is $2,600, and that's not including anything else. And there's this thing come out right now recently, even if the laundry is in suit, it's a co-operated laundry. So like even the housing is like turned into a different kind of business right now. So like you rent the space, but everything is extra, even using your own laundry.
Within your unit?
Yes. I've seen that.
Wow.
Like there's lots of
coins.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like it's just like it costs you like around $6-7 to use the dryer and the washer together if you want to use them together. And I've seen some of them are time metered. So like you get to use 5 minutes of the washer for a buck or like for 50 cents for like 5 minutes.
This is making sense to me. I have a friend who lives in an apartment building. And like one time I was there and she's like, you know, this working from home business. She actually bought her own washer and dryer, you know, like that you could have.
Yes.
And she doesn't want anyone to know that she has it there because she saves money. You know, I guess she like puts it up into the sink. It's a great idea. It's what I'm suggesting for you. You know, and like she has this whole like way that she does it. She has it like on top of blankets so it doesn't like make noise. Yeah. But even then she's like doing laundry at certain times of the day, like aware of like people working from home, like that they'd be suspicious that she has that and she'd be found out. But now I understand why. You know, she's saving money.
Of course.
Essentially, right?
Because when you add that up, like if you also, like I live with my girlfriend, so we have to twice the laundry that I normally do. And then if you do this,
No, I'm just kidding.
So like it actually adds up.
He's got a nice girlfriend.
Just teasing, and I wasn't suggesting anything else.
You know what else? So, like, you find a place, it looks nice, so you see it's $2,400, and then they say they add one thing there. It's $2,400 for a single occupancy. So if you want to live there two person, the rent goes up to $2,600. So, like, it's the same place, it's the same space, everything is the same, but if you're going to be there with your girlfriend or your partner, it costs more. That I don't understand. And there's lots of stuff also, like you wouldn't believe the kitchens I've seen. I went to maybe like 5-6 places to visit them personally and see. And the thing they call kitchen is a one cabinet with sink. Just one thing has the sink.
They have a sink.
Yes.
Check.
Yeah. And then the right fridge. Next to it, there's a pot that's, it's electric powered, not even an oven, and then that's it. They call it a kitchen. Yes, it's like that you have to have for the health safety inspection. Yeah. It's the two important thing you have, and they call it a kitchen, and then they ask thousands of dollars for the rent.
That's crazy. I also learned. Yesterday I had a mommy night. Went to one of my co-moms at the daycare. I went to her place and she was explaining to me how she bid for her house. And that it's a family joke that she wrote the best piece of her life because her real estate agent had called her and said, hey, you really want this house? Write the owner a letter. And I'm thinking, like, if I'm selling my house, like, I guess there's an emotional attachment to a house, but it was a letter to bid on it. Like, there was a bidding war, but she wrote this letter basically saying, this is the house I dream of raising. I asked her what she wrote in it.
A compassion component to the seller.
She got it. So, like, the family, that's like I said, creative. The family joke, but I didn't even think that that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it always comes down to money. At the end of the day, it's all about money. And, I mean, money talks and BS walks. Mm-hmm. And I think most people will get the best they can. And what they do sometimes, they try to create these bidding wars. They force you to move faster and get into a situation that sometimes you can't even afford. And then it snowballs from there. But housing definitely in Toronto is getting out of control. Even the federal government, you know, they're trying to – And the politicians are all trying to show that they're going to be putting more money into affordable housing and that kind of stuff there. But, you know, it's great sounds politically, but in terms of the net results.
I'm going to say something that's probably not very appropriate or I'm outing someone. I remember, because you're mentioning politicians, that when Adam was asked, you know, when are you leaving? You know, when I've done something for housing. And I'm like, here we are still talking about housing. So, like, you know.
And he's left and he's got his pension.
Yeah.
And he's got his pension.
Yeah.
So we talked, you know, about TTC housing, two kind of important topics. I want to talk about a topic that, you know, I was thinking about in the last couple of days. And I wanted to bring it up as a topic, as a bit of a fun topic. And the topic is, how important is food to you? And let me tell you what I mean by that. There's a statistics that came out that said that 70% getting to your heart is through your stomach in relationships. And it's amazing how a lot of relationships all hinge on going for dinner, cooking, everything around, you know, people grow up with most mothers are good cooks. And then whether you're male or female, you get together. And food becomes, when you really think about it, food becomes such an important part of our lives, especially with relationships with people. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of stories. People have broken up because the person can't cook or the person can cook more, whatever. Great. You have a little bit of experience in terms of in the food industry, whatever. How important is food to you in terms of the relationship with your girlfriend, your family, and the people around you?
It's funny enough. In Turkey, we have a saying, the love road in the human starts from the stomach.
Yeah.
That's how they say in Turkey. It's really important that, like, I mean, it's an old-fashioned way of saying things in Turkey, but it says, like, you know, you have to have someone that helps. Have to know to make cook food, right? But the thing is, I think the opposite way. Like I'm the one that actually cooks more, that because I enjoy that. Like when it comes to me, that if I'm eating for myself, I don't bother even cooking. I just eat something that fills me, that I don't need food anymore. But when it comes to the relationship, I want to cook better. I want to cook more.
That's
I want
a love
to do
language
a shopping.
Too, right?
Yes,
that
right.
You care about somebody.
Yes, that's, you know, the thing that say the relationship weight. That's true. Like, I mean, I've been living with my girlfriend for 8 months now, and I bet we both gained at least like 10 pounds in this 8 months. No kidding, like, because she wants me to eat well. I want her to eat well. So we both try to cook more. I was getting like one meal a day before she comes here. And then now we sometimes
more
have
regular,
four.
More regular meals.
Yes, of course.
But it's all around the relationship and spending time and cooking. And that's what I'm saying, Lenita. Like, I mean, we come from also ethnic
Gastro.
Background. And there's always, you know, like, You got to eat. But in terms of the relationship, as I said, 70%, you know, they were saying to get to your heart is through your stomach. Mm-hmm. And over the years, Lenina, food, I mean, it brings people together, families, that kind of stuff there. But food, really, when you just think it in the simplistic term, it's such an important part of our lives.
It is. It's, you know, making room for, like, we all need it to sustain ourselves, but we also need it, like, for love, you know, gathering, making more space at the table. Like, you know, if there was 20 people at the table, we'd be like, and that's what you want. You want to always, like, you know, bring people together, and it's through food. At the risk of bringing up something religious, I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus came to us through food. You know, for those of us who are listening at home, you know, that I don't know if that's your faith history or your faith at all, but nonetheless, I don't think it's a coincidence that it was done that way, because we can all sustain and, you know, the messaging, not the messaging, because I do believe, but it's, you know, he comes to you in bread.
Right. So great. You cook for your girlfriend.
I do. And, I love it.
And you love cooking. It sounds like you're passionate about it, because you also have a little bit of experience in the food industry, and you love it. But it's interesting. See, I love to cook, but I hate to clean up. But that's a whole different story.
Yes,
but,
I agree with that.
But in terms of cooking, you don't have a problem as a man cooking for your girlfriend. You know, it's, to you, you don't look at it another way. You just, you're there to enjoy yourself.
Of course. Because
I don't think you think about, like, but, you know, you said you were very clear that you do most of the cooking because of gender roles, right? Like, so it's cool that you know, you do it. But I think that it's still there. Like, it's embarked that it's a woman's job versus a man's job. But I actually love that you cook.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your sense that you don't have a problem cooking.
No, of course not. Because the thing is, like, we get home and then we both worked and then, like, we need to eat, right?
Yeah.
And then whoever has the most energy literally gets up and then starts cooking. We don't really talk who's going to cook. But the most beautiful thing is, it's like the relationship is not always 50-50, right? Like, whoever gets the most energy needs to take a bit more of that to take an action. But the good part is, when we both are tired, if I'm the one who gets up to cook, then I stay and sit down next of the after the meal, because my girlfriend would stand up. Do the dishes. Yeah. But you know what? Most of the time, it's always together, because, like, when I'm up making the dinner, or when she's up making the dinner, the other one just walks up and then shows support. Even it's
not setting the table, doing other things. Absolutely,
because both of the parties does this just to show their love and respect. So there's not really. Sometimes we plan. That's I tell her, like, I have an idea. That's the most terrifying thing. Like, we get home and we say, what are we gonna eat?
Yeah, we're gonna eat.
That's the most terrifying thing. So whoever gets the idea says, like, I have an idea. Yeah, I'm going to make something for us.
Yeah, my wife always asks me in the morning, or even when I'm doing having dinner that night, she says, what do you want for dinner tomorrow night? I said, let me finish tonight's dinner before tomorrow night. But the question I got for both of you with regard to that is that, you know, obviously food people, like right now, they're getting to prepare foods or whatever. But there's another stat, I'm all full of these stats in food, is that cooking from scratch, in terms of improvising, is also kind of sexy and cool. And, you know, I used to call it peasant food, eating very simple peasant food, like very simple stuff. But sometimes turning something that is very small into something a little more kind of organic and kind of, it's kind of cool, is it not?
It is, definitely. Because, like, I always think the way that, like, when you make something out of scratch, It's great, because it's rather food, it's an art, it's anything else. It's cooking is also a form of art, because like you kind of start from nothing to you make something that tastes nice, smells nice, and it makes someone happy. That's a form of art that I see.
You know, Lena, my mother, my grandmother used to always say, eat at home because it's clean. You know what you're eating.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know what's in there. You don't got preservatives, you know. And it never clicked with me back then, but it does now, because I do remember the tastes that were so different.
Absolutely. Everything. Like, you know, you talked about, like, making something simple. Like, when my neighbor, she does it for us, but when she makes this tomato sauce and it's the rustic kind, like, she doesn't even, like, there, you can still see the tomatoes in it.
Yeah.
Like, to me, she could make it the exact same way and then just run it through a blender, but it tastes yummier because it feels organic. It feels like the way it comes into the earth. Oh, it's so yummy.
The more thing that it touches, it actually, like, loses the taste and smells, and also, like, it really, really changes. Because I remember, I'm from a small city, so like, my grandparents,
Turkish background.
Yeah, my Turkish background.
Gule.
you got some Turkish words.
Yeah,
we have to right behind us too.
So yeah, like, I'm coming from a small city, so my grandparents had a garden. So like they would gardening, so they would collect all these vegetables and then, you know, make the tomato sauce. Mm-hmm. When I was back in college in Turkey, they would send me jars of tomato sauces and then like pre-made foods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even though I would freeze them and use them over time, they wouldn't get any, we wouldn't tell them if they're fresh or not, because its taste is always the same. Mm-hmm. But now, even if I try it here, even if I follow their recipes, it's not the same taste. Yeah. It's not the same smell that I remember from the
past.
And
it's not the same love, right?
No, like, it's
well, like they say, you know, it's the love. It's what will you put behind
of
it.
Of course. Yeah. And like, I'm not really good following recipes either. So like, if I'm making something, I would just look up and then just like improvise the rest of it. So it's 50-50 yeah. chance it's going to be good or not. But yeah. we end up eating
I'm like that too. And that's why I'm not a good baker. Because baker is very like, you know, you need 300, I don't know, making this up, mil of milk.
Or, yeah. Like,
you know, this more, is very precise.
Precise. Yeah. But Lenita, you know, growing up, as we said, from ethnic backgrounds, whatever, the herbs are always the oreganos and, you know, the bay leaf, and the accentuating pieces were always a big part of the flavors and
for
the
sapores
or whatever you want to call it.
I'm smiling because I remember not putting in a bay leaf for, you know, our arroz la en casa, like our rice at home. And my mom was like, falta. Loro, I think that's how you say it in Portuguese. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, really? Like, you're going to complain because I forgot to put that one. But, you know, like, it makes a difference, the herbs and, you know. So absolutely.
Oh. Great. Do you still do some recipes, as you mentioned, for your grandmother in terms of here in Toronto? Do you still kind of fool around with that kind of stuff there? Or are you just gone North American style? And
yeah. I kind of, like, the thing is, I don't even remember what I was eating back in Turkey now. So, like, I kind of got blended in the culture here. Like, when I'm trying to, as a food, what to eat, I only remember the recipes that I tried here or, like, I tasted here. So, like, I don't even remember what I was eating back there now.
Is it because, like, I know that if I go to a Portuguese-centric, even the metro across the street has Portuguese-centric ingredients. Like, do you think it's because you're not going to a Turkish shop? Do you think that would make a difference?
Sometimes I'm going, but it's the thing is, we don't have the same stuff here. Even if it's a Turkish place, we don't have the same stuff here. And then,
like, I got to take you to the Turkish coffee house. That tastes like Turkey.
Definitely.
Just before we go to a break, I just want to ask both of you. So, you know, for me, as I said, you know, peasant food, basic stuff, a little bit of bread, a little bit of cheese, olive oil, some olives, you know, glass of wine. That's for me, that's kind of, I go through my phase. That's where I like doing it right now. That's kind of where my comfort zone is. What's your comfort zone, Linda?
So, like in terms of cooking, other people have told me this, so it's true. I make the best Korean ribs.
The Korean ribs,
the short ride ribs. If my friend Angie is listening, it was her recipe. But I made it more, so it's mine. And I've perfected it. Like, you know, I would go to the Korean, and in fact, I still do. I go to the Korean shop over on Bloor Street. I buy the meat there. I like the way they slice it there. And when the woman saw me like buying all the ingredients, she's like, oh, you need to put onion. And she's like, you have at home? She wasn't trying to sell me. She was honestly like seeing somebody who's interested in Korean food, and my Korean ribs are really good. I should make you some and send them home.
Yeah, for sure. Great.
So me and my girlfriend, we're totally different in food. So we have two, because even though we eat it, we have both different things. So like in her side, she's a pasta lover. That's the easiest thing. Right. Like what we're going to eat. Pasta. If I ask this question 1,000 times, I get the answer pasta for 1,000 times. Yeah. That's really comfort. Just make a pasta, make a little nice sauce.
And you?
For me, I would probably do like rice and potatoes most of the time. But there's a different way of making the rice. The rice here, it's not close what we do in Turkey.
Wow, cool. Anyways, we're going to take a short break on this food break. I mean, we're going to have to go and get a quick bite. We're going to take a short break with Lenita Lopez and Gray Gould. Stay with us and we'll be right back on the round table.
A 12ª edição dos International Portuguese Music Awards no Providence Performing Arts Center em Providence, Rhode Island, sábado, 4 de maio. Visite ipmaawards.com para comprar o seu bilhete.
Trabalharam arduamente para colocar um teto sobre nós e os nossos vizinhos canadianos. Ajudaram-nos a construir memórias, sorriram com orgulho no completar dos nossos estudos e choraram no nosso casamento. É a nossa vez de retribuir. Ao doar para a Magellan Community Foundation, ajudará a financiar a primeira instituição de cuidados prolongados para a comunidade de língua portuguesa do Ontário. Ajude a dar aos nossos idosos os cuidados que merecem.
Já estou a servir a comunidade portuguesa há mais de 50 anos em todo o aspecto de seguros.
Para seguro de carro, casa ou comercial, confia em Vieira & Associates. Agora em nova morada e com estacionamento gratuito na 55 Warner Avenue em Etobicoke, entre Kipling e Islington. Esperamos por si.
Temos a nossa companhia preparada para servir no futuro.
Applewood Chevrolet Cadillac. Encontre o seu carro de sonho entre a nossa vasta gama de veículos. Estamos à sua espera para o acompanhar na escolha perfeita, com uma equipa de profissionais e técnicos que o ajudarão a sair com o seu automóvel ideal. Contacte Tony Carvalho através do telefone 905-828-2221. Applewood Chevrolet Cadillac. Concessionário GM número 1 em quantidade na área de Toronto por 2 anos seguidos.
Previne doenças, faz-nos sentir mais felizes e sabe tão bem. Dolce Chocolate chega a todo o Canadá e América do Norte com a marca da diferença. Qualidade, originalidade e requinte é a fórmula do sucesso. Dolce Chocolate para a sua felicidade e para fazer alguém feliz. Visite a nossa loja no 128 Cartwright Avenue em Toronto ou faça a sua encomenda através do site dolcechocolateco.com.
Mais próximo, mais dinâmico, mais atual. MillenniumStadium.com. O mesmo de sempre, mas melhor.
Valorizamos a qualidade do nosso trabalho. Prestamos atenção aos requerimentos e necessidades dos nossos clientes. Utilizamos só dos melhores materiais. Trabalhamos em segurança e temos ajudado a construir a província do Ontário. Viana Roofing. Solutions you can trust.
Não paramos um só minuto em 2023 para levar até si uma programação 24 horas. Disponibilizamos o nosso canal, totalmente grátis, através dos dispositivos móveis. É muito fácil, basta visitar o website e clicar no Live TV. Em qualquer parte do mundo, ou se preferir, assista direto do seu computador no conforto da sua casa. Agora você tem mais opções de como assistir à nossa programação. É simples, é rápido, é grátis.
Welcome back to the roundtable for this Friday, April the 12th, 2024. Vince Negro here filling in for Christina Da Costa. With us is Lenita Lopez and Gray Gould. Just a couple more just quick little topics before we get into Millennial Stadium and the TikTok aspect and the social media. There's, you know, it's just coming off of food, we talk about food. The other big industry is coffee. Everybody, you know, North America, and again, another statistics, we here in Canada, we are coffee lovers. Everybody, if you watch them everywhere you go, they got a sexy coffee cup like I do. I got a coffee cup, and people are walking around with these coffee cups, and it's not only in the morning, it's afternoon, it's at night. You see coffee everywhere, and then you get different kinds of coffees. You get the Americano, you get the espresso, the latte, blah, blah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a huge industry. There's no question about that. Gray, coffee industry. You have a good experience being in the coffee industry. Yes. Is it an industry that, I mean, coffee's been around forever. And you can tell good quality and coffee, obviously, people get it for adrenaline, students, mm-hmm. Wake up in the morning. What's your take on coffee and the whole scene?
So the coffee itself is really huge in here. It's huge in everywhere, but right. It has a different kind of culture in here. Everybody needs a coffee. That's so true, because people wakes up, they need a coffee. People gonna go to work, they need a coffee before they start. Even myself, I don't know how many cups coffees I have. But the thing is here, it has a really, really different... It became a really, really certain coffee types because people are now getting more and more knowledge of the coffees they're drinking, which is getting better because people are not getting Starbucks anymore, which it's actually a really, really huge thing in other countries as well. But after I moved here, I realized no one goes to Starbucks. They all want the third wave specialty coffees because they know what they're getting. They're asking if it's how roasted it was, if it's a fair trade, which is also a good topic that people are aware of this, and they ask the coffee shops if
where
their coffee is...
Is it sourced? Absolutely,
yes.
Yeah.
So they actually care where it's from, if it's fair trade and everything. And the coffee here, it's a different culture. In most countries, even my country, Turkey, the coffee is actually... You can take a coffee to sit down with your friends and chat. That's it. But here... People need the coffee in general. No one drinks a coffee when they're alone in Turkey. Mm-hmm. The coffee things with you do with friends and family. But here, I have people coming to our store. They get a coffee. They sit down for 8 hours and do their work. They get another coffee. They get another coffee. So it's actually like a fuel for the people here. Right. So they have to keep going. They need more coffee.
Lenita, you a coffee drinker?
Não bebo muito café, mas eu lembro-me de ser pequenina e a cultura do café. Eu lembro da minha mãe me dar dinheirinho para ir ali à college, onde a gente estamos agora. You know, compra um café para as tuas amigas, vão sair para tomar um café. So I even grew up at home. We have like these really expensive coffee makers, but it's the going out for coffee. Like,
it's the experience.
It's the experience.
It's
absolutely.
Like Gray was saying, it's... going out, and it's like we talk about food, right? It's like the whole thing about food. And coffee has taken on this whole also, let's get together for coffee. It could be morning, noon, afternoon, even though it's the expression. But still, and the one thing you notice about Toronto, and I know globally there's coffee shops everywhere, but Toronto, you have to admit here in Toronto, there are a lot of coffee shops. And a lot of these so-called hipster coffee shops that are now becoming very trendy and they catch on a social media, which we're going to talk about, and I'm trying a bit of a segue into that. So the whole culture, the coffee culture, the hipster kind of coffee shops are everywhere.
They are, yes. In all over the Toronto, there's like these specialty coffees, and then there's this barista. So the people goes to,
right, to a barista school,
yeah,
and
represent themselves,
right,
to get their certificate.
Right.
You know, to learn
the
more.
Put the heart on the coffee,
yes,
with
the art and
the
everything.
Art.
So they start. Most of the coffee shops started infusing their beans to give it different flavors.
Right.
So like we have orange infused coffee beans. Like let's say a different things. So it's not a coffee anymore. Everybody started saying like, we get coffee every day. Why not get a tasted good one? Or that. Why not get a different specialty coffee? Let's try this time.
Yeah.
So they actually don't want to get a one kind anymore because everything is kind of little routine in the work life. So coffee is the escape to try something new. At least it's an option.
Yeah. You know, my doctor said to me, I said, coffee, like you hear the positives, negatives. Like there's so many research out there. It's good for you. Sometimes it's bad for you, whatever. But generally, they say it's generally good for you. And, you know, with Alzheimer's and that kind of stuff. And my doctor said, you can have a coffee as long as it's a good one. And I said to him, what is a good coffee, right? And he didn't really have the answer. And I'm sure Gray's got the answer to that. But coffee can, if you're not used to it, can give you a hyper, hypertension, you get your blood pressure going up, your heart rate going up. So you have to really monitor in terms of coffees and its caffeine approach, even though there's caffeine and chocolate and everything else, but you got to really regulate the caffeine piece in terms of moving forward.
Absolutely. And it's not a reason why I don't drink coffee.
You're hyper as it is without coffee.
Yeah,
imagine,
can you imagine?
But coffee.
I have another addiction that let's not talk about on the
chocolate?
Radio. No, I wish I could say chocolate because I think that's a bit more socially acceptable. I like Coca-Cola.
Well, there's a lot of caffeine in
Coke.
Yeah,
and
that's
my
like
fuel,
Coke.
Right? I like Coke. And like it's... So when people are like, how do you not drink coffee? Well, remember, I don't drink it as much as most people who drink Coke, because who drink coffee, like, you know, it's not socially acceptable to, oh, can I have another Coke? But I do get my caffeine from there. But I do like coffee. But the problem with, like, why I don't drink a lot of coffee is I don't like percolated coffee. Not every coffee house is the same.
Yes.
Not all hipster coffee shops are created equally either, right? Like, I actually don't like a bitter coffee. And I don't – a good coffee, you don't need to put sugar in. That's sort of like my theory. Yeah. So, like, if I find myself – and not that I'm plugging certain businesses, but, like, just last week it was – the weather was better. Was it last week? Yes. And I was like, okay, I'm on Queen Street. I'm going to go have coffee here because that's where I'm going to drop – like, you know, $6-7. I actually don't think Starbucks is all that great.
Yeah, I agree.
It's bad coffee for me.
Great. What constitutes a good coffee? What, in your opinion, what is a good coffee?
So every beans comes from the same roasting process. Right. Every coffee can taste really good. But it's really, really important how you brew the coffee because there's an extraction that you take the notes out of the coffee beans. So you have to actually follow a proper way to get a good coffee. So you have to actually measure the dry dose of the coffee you're grounding, and then you have to also measure how many wet grams you're getting in your shot. So you have to measure everything individually to make sure you get your ratio right, and then you're going to get a better tasting. Mm-hmm. But some people, even the coarseness of the grinds actually affects the taste. So people come to buy a coffee, they see a coffee bag and they say, if this is for espresso, if you grind it for an espresso, it's going to be an espresso. They all come from the same beans. But if you don't course it right, it's going to be bitter because it's going to take too much time to extract. So it's going to get burned.
You know, Greg, my secret is put a little bit of lemon juice in the water. And I find that to me, that kind of helps it.
An Italian woman gave me a good hack for a coffee.
What's this?
Don't wash the cafe.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Right. Yeah, it's like usage. Anyways, this week in Millennial Stadium, as I say, pound for pound, I believe we have one of the best publications out there. And this week, there's no other reason not to believe it. And we are covering social media, in particularly TikTok. And I remember years and years and years ago, you know, there's an old kind of a show called Hogan's Heroes, and there's a guy called Sergeant Schultz, and they used to mesmerize people by saying tick-tock. And those words really were hypnosis. And TikTok obviously is a very popular social media platform. You know, there's been a lot of controversy around it in terms of China, that the Chinese have all our information, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's had its ups and downs. But I have to admit, you know, and I've started to watch TikTok more and more. First of all, it is addictive, number one. Mm-hmm. But every major star, everybody is on TikTok. They don't care whether they got their information or not. It's almost like it's taken over. Like even movies and all the move forward of whether it's promotion or whatever, TikTok has had such a huge impact on people. Great. TikTok for you. Give us a little perspective from your standpoint, your age group, the people mm-hmm. you'll deal with, how TikTok integrates with all their day-to-day lives.
So the TikTok actually, like you said, it's addictive, and it has a really, really a big user database. So there's over 1 billion people using TikTok. So that is a high impact. Even the older people who owns a business, when they want to have an influencer coming in to promote their business, the first thing they say, can you do TikTok videos? Mm-hmm. The first thing they say, because they know they're going to get lots of attraction from there. Right. But more of the young people, young generation, most of them, they just say, I need to take a break from everything. I'll just take 5 minutes. I'll just watch. They're short videos anyways. I'll just take 5 minutes. But no one realizes they spend hours there because it's addictive.
It's a rabbit hole.
Yes. It's a rabbit hole because it has generative feeds, right? It's the For You page. So every time you see a video, you start seeing more related things. So you don't get bored at all. So you don't realize because the videos are short, right?
Yeah.
You don't really realize how many videos you're watching, so you end up spending hours there. But in there's actually some good ways to use it as well. I mean, I used it myself to see there's some people giving nice informations about how to grow a business, right? They tell you nice informations, but it's really, really important how to use it because you're going to go into that rabbit hole and there's no
turning back.
Yes. Yeah. It's so hard because it's so addictive. You don't realize.
Yeah, I'm gonna get back to you on that because I got a couple of points. Lenita, do you look at TikTok social media and the people that, like you mentioned, the mothers and the groups that you hang out with, are they addicted? I know Instagram is a big thing, but in particular this TikTok, because the one thing I tell about TikTok that I've noticed about people, they tell you, yeah, I do Instagram, but they switch back and forth between TikTok and Instagram.
So I know that I've never signed up for TikTok, but I see TikTok videos within Instagram, right?
Yes,
so like,
right, of course.
So like that people share. And the reason I don't do it is because it is addictive. But you're right. There's, you know, great information, but even like through other platforms. Mm. But it's also been a good source of entertainment, little dances that come out of it.
Yeah.
I think it was a couple years ago. They're like, oh, I'm too embarrassed to have a TikTok account because I don't fit the genre, you know? Mm. So I think my generation, we feel it doesn't fit our genre. Like, you know, I'll know, like, based on who's messaging me, like, on Instagram, like, a certain age group versus Facebook.
Yeah.
Right? So I even think it's probably Gen X is really using TikTok well.
Yes, of course.
Right? Like, you know, give the phone to a younger person, they'll tell you how to use it. And,
great. In terms of your age group, in terms of the people you have, is TikTok the number one go-to platform that they watch and communicate with?
Yes, because the thing is, there's not this thing. No one can focus as more than 20 minutes to anything.
Yeah.
It's so hard to watch a movie anymore. Yeah. So in Instagram, there's videos, yes, but there's most text and images as well. So it gets bored after one time because you have to read something, right? But in TikTok, you don't need to read something. You just scroll down the videos and then watch them.
You know what I found about the TikTok is that, again, I'm not a huge TikTok person, but I you know, doing this program, I wanted to familiarize myself with it. I found that when you're scrolling, if you stop in a particular picture or a product for more than like 20 seconds, the algorithm piece picks up and it keeps coming back at you.
Yes,
and then true. And then what happens is that you start to look at some of these pictures and you say to yourself, is it real or is augmented? Like some of the pictures, they look great, but they don't even look real.
Yes.
So the algorithm component to it, in terms of in your mind, is unbelievable how they've got that going.
It is. That's why it's kind of a little freaky, because you think of something, you don't realize that you look something, but it starts coming up to you, and then you're like, it kind of gets scary. And also, like, there's this thing. So you leave your phone, you forget it's open, and then it stays on a bad video. Maybe it's related to something.
Yeah.
Something dramatic, maybe it's something about mental health, maybe someone's giving bad advice and it's there, you don't realize it, and the next time you take your phone and you get these old videos about mental health, and then whatever you see, it affects your mood, so you started feeling more depressive because you're watching all these bad videos and there's no way back coming to the fun videos because it's really a strong algorithm. You have to do a lot to change your feed, even it's same in the Instagram. You click one thing by an accident and all you see is that. And it's so hard to change it to a back.
Yeah. Lenita, the people that you hang out with, and is part of the conversation all around TikTok? Do they say, did you see this video on this kid? Like, even though it's moms and the people within your group,
not TikTok.
Do they refer to the social media pieces?
Not TikTok in particular. Like, just, you know, the other day I was going to the bathroom at work and I said to my colleague, oh, I love your bag. I saw it on Vanessa so-and-so's webpage, an influencer, a fashion mom influencer. So no doubt that we're following trends that way, but I guess my circle is not big on TikTok.
Right. You know, Gray, I know that you're a bit of, I think you're an influencer in terms of the area you're in social media, photography, and a lot of the things you do. And when folks approach you in terms of doing certain things for a new business, or a new product, a company, whatever, and you said you got to do a TikTok video, is TikTok one of the first things, depending on what the need is, that you would say, like, we should look into the possibilities of working the TikTok platform?
So the thing is, like, there's always more thing to do first.
Right.
But what they know is the younger generation, they want to have their in their store using the TikTok. So that's why their first priority is doing the TikTok. But they don't even have a proper image or video, or they don't even have a good space to make a video from out of it.
But is the way to do it, like, I can't deny that TikTok isn't a great platform, of course. But, like, why is there so much focus on TikTok more so? Like, are you not excluding a certain target group? You know, like, I may not go into your shop if it's only TikTok. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't know about it. So, like, is it important to focus on TikTok because that's the trend, that's what's used more? Or is it better to focus on all of them to get your product out there or your business?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's all of them is the most important part. I don't really, really say that the TikTok is the best place to be on just to promote your business out there. But actually it works. Like, people go virals and then they make this video one day. Somehow it went viral and everybody wanted to go to the store. And then, you know.
The Cronut. Remember the Cronut?
So it somehow works. That's why most of the people actually wants to focus there. And I go somewhere, I think I'm there to, you know, they do their menus or whatever, and they're like, can you do videos? We want to be in TikTok. That's the first thing I'm hearing.
Do you find that TikTok, when someone comes to talk to you, that they also need a little bit of education about how TikTok works in terms of how to get on, having an account, that kind of stuff? Do you find that that's, once people get into it, that everybody's doing their own TikToks? Like, everybody is a producer now and a promoter of whatever.
So that actually really true. Some people are saying, like, no, I just don't like to watch some videos. I'm going to delete it anyways. And they end up starting making content. Because it's the thing is, like, there's so many people that sharing content as it's like, it's so easy that they're like, they became viral or they became famous overnight. It's not an easy process. Having the thoughts, creating a content, producing them, creating them, sharing them. It's a really, really, really process. So, like, you have to spend maybe 2 or 3 weeks to get a 1 20-second video, but they share it this way. It's like, it's super easy. You take it, you share it, and then boom, you're there. But people doesn't realize this, so they think they can do it, so they start it.
Great. Do you find within your community, the people that you deal with when it comes to TikTok in particular, Instagram's the next kind of one that people talk about, do you find that it's to the point where, you know, it's a platform that is used whether it's for business or to promote a product or an event or whatever else? But do you find that most of the people that you deal with when they go on TikTok becomes very addictive from the standpoint of the algorithm piece? Do you find it like maybe a little bit over the top? And number one. And number two, what would you advise people who are listening to the program and thinking of going on TikTok or whatever? How would you talk about having limited yourself to watching TikTok for a bit? What kind of advice would you give?
So in terms of that, it is really addictive. Because the thing is, like, the page that created for you, like we said before, it's really the things you like. You never get bored. But the thing is, it's really, really important to put a limit on that, because it kills your productivity. It steals a lot of time from your day. And so you have to actually watch your screen time, and you have to really watch the content you see, and then you have to mark them out if you don't want to see them again, because otherwise they're going to grow more and you're going to end up seeing the content you don't really like, or it affects your mental health. Because people maybe doesn't realize this, but most of the content you see, it somehow affects you. Because if you find something it's not right for you, even if you have a flinch of think that it's affecting your thoughts, if it changes the way you think, you have to report that post so you don't see it again.
Right.
And also, like, you have to set timers for you if you want to, you know, kill some time to just to clear your mind. Set yourself a 20-minute. 20 minutes is more than enough, because after 20 minutes, it's just the same thing repeating each other over, as well.
In terms of, you know, we mentioned Instagram, you know, the old Facebook, which is it Meta, and then you got X and whatever. Are there any other platforms that you like that you feel are kind of in between, that are up and comers? That is there any other platforms that you would want to bring to our attention other than the top 4 or 5, and in particular TikTok?
I don't actually use I don't think I use anything other than these topics, but right. if you ask in this ones, the X is my favorite right X, now because it's more content than the videos. I mean, it also has the same issues anyways. It's the social media is getting into a different places right now. Everybody is better there. Yeah. Everybody shows a better
Reddit,
life there.
Reddit's another one that a lot of people go to for news and,
yeah.
and that kind of stuff there.
Yeah.
Lenita, so you're not on TikTok. Are you on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram. I have a funny Instagram story. Mm. I was teased when I was working in an office doing, and they were right, that I didn't have an Instagram account because I was doing community liaison and, you know, I needed to communicate with the community. And so it was a young person. I felt so satisfied. And in a week, I had 500 followers. And then I was cocky about it. And I said, she's like, you have 500 followers? I'm like, yeah, was that hard? And I had, so the end game of this story is at one point when we started, Adam and I, he's a politician, okay, who worked with the Trudeau government, I had more followers than Adam Vaughn. So I was very proud of that.
So proceed with caution. Your advice, proceed with caution. Use the platforms in a smart kind of way. Try not to get hooked on it. You got kids, control it and go from there. Any final thoughts on the TikTok piece?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's for my generations, for the people in my age, they somehow know how to control it, but it's a bigger responsibility for the people whose their child is using this.
Yeah.
Because that's more of a big matter, a big topic.
For sure. Just before we close out, last week spring started and, you know, it's, you know, spring ahead, you know, times changed. You know, we were lucky this winter where the snow wasn't that bad. You know, springtime comes. I know Gray's got a new place. It's like people spring cleaning, clean the garage, do whatever. Lenita, spring, you have a child now. What does spring look like for you? Are there any rituals you do? What's spring like for you?
So more outdoor time, definitely more outdoor time. And, you know, he's new, so we're sort of discovering, you know, what we like to do together. He's just over 1 year old. But I'll be honest, when I say, vamos lá fora, he goes and gets his toque. So it'll be interesting to see summer when he doesn't need that toque. But I'm sure he'll need a cap for the sunshine. But it's just even promising. Like, we even like to say goodnight. Our ritual is, goodnight, day sky. So, you know, all winter we'd open the door and say, goodnight, night sky. And now we're saying, goodnight, day sky. See you next time. So it's been fun. Spring is always fun.
Greg, is spring a favorite time of the year for you, or...?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been waiting for this for so long. It's just like I it's so hard for me to adjust in this weather because the transitions, I don't get it. I have to prepare myself. I have to see if the spring's coming, if the summer's coming, but the transition is so straight. So like it's hard for me, but I'm so glad now we're getting better days. The most thing I like is like I can actually sit somewhere without getting wet.
Yeah,
I can be on grass. I can take off my shoes and touch the grass. Like, that's the most thing
which is very important.
Yes.
You know, for me, the most important thing is the sunlight, having more sunlight. Sure. I think that's the most important thing. You know, I want to thank both of you for coming on a busy Friday. Great, good insight in terms of social media and your thoughts. First time on the program. We really much appreciate you being on the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Great. And Lenita, once again, thanks for coming in. I know you have a busy home life now with your child.
No, but I'm happy to have this little, you know, mommy time and solo time because it makes for a, you know, happier time with my child when I'm happy too.
Well, have a good weekend, guys. This weekend, the Kamosh TV magazine will be on Saturday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock on City TV and Sunday from 10 to noon on Global Durham. Have a good weekend. It's Vince Negro here filling in for Christina Da Costa. Thanks again to Lenita and Gray. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you guys all next week, and we'll do it again on the round table.
Trabalharam arduamente para colocar teto sobre nós e os nossos vizinhos canadianos. Ajudaram-nos a construir memórias, sorriram com orgulho no completar dos nossos estudos e choraram no nosso casamento. É a nossa vez de retribuir. Ao doar para a Magellan Community Foundation, ajudará a financiar a primeira instituição de cuidados prolongados para a comunidade de língua portuguesa do Ontário. Ajude a dar aos nossos idosos os cuidados que merecem.